fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. The Jays losing streak hits 5.
Hit on the ground, the first through the legs of Adam Lind. The Yankees win it 3-2.
Swung on, hit on the ground, a first, and through to right field. It is a base hit. Richardson scores. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
8:03, Brady and Walker. Good morning. What are the Jays? That's the question. We know what the standings read. We know it's over. The debate of when it was over has been a long-term conversation. But going into next year, what are they? That's the question. I'm Andrew Walker. He's Greg Brady. What is this?
Yeah, team? Our number is 416-870-0590, star 590, 888-666-0590. I'm not going to play. I worry we get stereotyped and your things are good with the Jays and I'm things where are bad with the Jays. Because actually we agree on a lot of stuff. The injuries have hurt them more than other teams' injuries seem to have hurt them. That said, look at that Yankees team last night. Every single starting pitcher has been on the DL for various points in time, and they've lost Tanaka, and they missed Pineda for 3 months, and they missed Sabathia for basically the whole damn season, and probably the rest of his career. But they're right there with the Blue Jays. I look at next year, and our number 416-870-0590, star 590. You can text us also, 590-590. I look at next year, and I worry more about next spring than I do this spring, and then I did the previous spring. And I don't know whether the truth's going to end up somewhere in the middle, and they'll have a year that's not as people won't pick them to do as many great things as they did in 13, where they were almost a consensus AL East winner pick, and they also won't pick them to win. Some people were picking them to win 76 games this year, and even you and I both. The one thing we agreed on was that they're not that bad. You might have thought, hey, they'll win 90 or 91. I might have thought, hey, they'll win 85 or 86. And neither of us deserve to be castigated for being wrong on that one, because in May, this team looked like people are more upset about anything because this team looked like they were going somewhere. And I know if you switch August and May, Andrew, everyone would have a different feel. But you can't switch August and May. What happened happened. And that's why everyone's upset and I think very concerned that the mediocrity might continue.
What is this team for next year? 416-870-0590. Call me a homer if you want. And I know people do at times, but this is why I have a tough time absolutely being, you know, unbelievably disappointed with this season. It's because I think if you take last year's bullpen, which was the only good part of last year's season, and put it on this year's team instead of veterans like Santos and Delabar getting DFA'd for God knows what reason, couldn't get anybody out. Last year's bullpen, this year's team, the Blue Jays are in the playoffs. Right? They're a playoff team. If that happens. But it didn't.
There's always an if, though. I'm not saying there's been an if for every one of the 23 years, but you can always find an if. So what changes about that next year? And this year you thought... You were worried more about the left fielder than you were the center fielder on April the 1st,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You were like, Colby Rasmus, pretty solid. I wonder if they're going to offer him a contract extension. Now you're getting...
Melky Cabrera, is he out of the hospital bed yet?
Yeah, you're getting zippity-doo for Colby Rasmus at the end of the season. Jack Squat, and you're hoping upon hope. I think it's the most critical free agent extension, if you will, the most critical contract extension the Jays can offer. I don't want to say of their entire existence, but they could always patch things through. If a guy didn't want to stay back in the late 80s, early 90s, they found a way to plug the hole. Like, you didn't even blink on some moves. We had traded Jesse Barfield for Al Leiter. Ah, big deal. We got enough power. We George Bell's moving on. That's okay. We've got these players. The lack of Melky Cabrera changes everything for my perspective on this team next year.
You tell me if this is a Toronto trap or a reason for optimism. I've only been here for one Jays season where you and I talk about this every morning.
Yeah.
Just one. And it's been, let's be honest, it's been the most relevant, interesting, up and down, emotional driven season in the last 10, 15 years. Now, not to say I haven't watched this team for 10, 15 years, because I have. I've watched them for the last 20 years watching every game. And if they were... you know, they were dreadful. They had dreadful seasons. And the fact of the matter is, every Jays fan, this is the most disappointing, boy, we felt kind of close at one time year. That's not a bad thing to be relevant. Should that be promising for next year, or is it just equally as disappointing?
I think it's a, I hate saying being on the fence, it's a little bit of both. They were 39 and 50 from June 6th on. I don't know which team is going to show up next season. I do want the manager changed. I'm not going to scream about it, and I'm also going to understand and shrug my shoulders and go, okay, if he's back. But I'll tell you, like, I this conversation is always, Andrew, with Gibbons. It's, hey, guys, I want to fire John Gibbons. I think we should maybe make a change. And people say to me, manager doesn't mean that much. Great. Then you don't mind if I change him.
Right.
That's my perspective on it. But I would push it back to you and say, you know what the known commodities are. I love their core. How many teams can boast a core? Bautista, Encarnacion, Lind, Lori, Navarro's been a godsend. Godsend. He saved the catching position. He's been the most reliable catcher outside of a couple months of John Buck that they've had in a decade.
Yeah.
A decade. And then there's Reyes, and then there's Lori, who they're trying to keep healthy. But the other little bits and pieces around them are going to be really, really important. And again, if Cabrera goes, he might go, he might not. They don't have a young player. They are absolutely bereft of talent to get excited about position player-wise at the minor league level. And the bonus is they got great pitching that you can get excited about. But that may not be everything. Maybe they need to have that more balanced.
No, there's no young player coming up. And if you are, say, the Boston Red Sox, as much as, you know what, they suck this season, but they still think that Jackie Bradley Jr. is going to be something. They still believe that Xander Bogaert's best years are ahead of him, right? It goes down the list, 3, 4, 5 guys. It is true. It's the biggest criticism of the organization right now is that Dalton Pompey is far and away their best position player. Max Pentecost is years away. And Pompey he's okay, but he's not a major leaguer next season. At least he shouldn't be. He's a nice story. He's a Canadian, but everybody has one.
What kind of gets tripped up in this? We'll get to calls right now, 810 on Brady and Walker. What gets tripped up is the Boston Red Sox in the last three seasons. Right? Their one Bobby Valentine season and their two John Farrell years. And the Jays have their one John Farrell year and their two John Gibbons years. They've won 11 more games than the Jays have. And I don't like them more as much as the Jays next year. I don't know who the hell's going to pitch besides Clay Buchholz. I know who's pitching for the Jays if they don't shake it up. Boston's won 11 more games, but the perspective's totally different because they put it all together in a magic season and won the freaking World Series. But they've gone last in the AL East, winning the World Series, last in the AL East. I'm not saying their future's any brighter, not by a long shot. Not by a long shot. Guy and Ajax, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan with Greg Brady and Andrew Walker. Go ahead, G.
Absolutely disappointing, guys. I mean, we were, what, 5 games up at one point. We did absolutely zero to add to this squad when we were in first place. They didn't have to go out and get a number one starter. They needed to tweak the bottom four of the lineup. We have the top 5 guys are probably arguably the tops in baseball. The bottom four, no professional hitters whatsoever. You know what? This team just doesn't seem to know where they sit because you said it and you were, I 100% agree with what you just said. When they know what they got, you go for it. I don't think they even knew what they had. And you know what? Next year is just going to be as tough because the Yankees are going to be healthy. The Red Sox are starting to stock up, and there's no way Tampa Bay is going to be where they are all hanging up and losing.
Well, and then you get into two different debates. And one, Andrew, is going forward in terms of is the GM pushing all the right buttons? Do they have the right manager? And then the other is the budget. And I don't know the answers. People who think you and I have some pipeline or anybody on air who's got some secret pipeline to know how Rodgers prioritizes his team financially in 2015, I don't know. We had Paul Beeson tell us a few weeks ago they're going to spend more money. But is that the more money that are raises for players and then everything else stays status quo? Or is that, no, we realize that the AL East is there for the taking right now. And in 5 years, maybe it's not, but it is right now.
Yeah, and I like that Guy said that. There are things to be outraged about. There are. And some things to be angry about. And there's things that are not, that are there. I don't, you know, Sid Sixero is screaming one day about how cheap the Jays are because they didn't bring on any salary. And last night he's upset because the payroll is high and they don't win. Well, it's really one or the other, right? The one thing that they could have made the playoffs and everyone is yelling about getting a number one pitcher. The rotation was good enough to make the playoffs. It was. It was just fine. They never needed that.
And you said it in May. Maybe you run into a roadblock and the pitching's too good that the Tigers have, that the A's have, that the Angels have when you get there. But you're there.
But the bullpen wasn't good enough.
And the bullpen
has to be improved. You have to bring back Melky Cabrera, and you probably have to find another free agent, whether it's a second baseman or a better center fielder, right? That is on Anthopoulos.
Matt Barnaby's going to join us at 8:22, 8:13. Let's try and get two more in if we can. I want to get to Sam, too. John in Toronto, go ahead.
How you doing?
Great.
I'm optimistic about the pitching next year, I have to say. I mean, I know it's been a disappointing season, but look at the arms we have. We have Sanchez, who could probably start. We have Stroman, who is a possible stud. Hutchison can throw. We have the two old guys. Dickey stabilized himself. Burley can throw. Maybe Morrow coming out of the pen. Maybe J.A. Happ, who knows what you do with him. If you keep him around, maybe he'll go in the pen. I mean, it was a disappointing season, but I think we have a lot of optimism possibly in the pen, definitely with the rotation, and the lineup is still great. And, you know.
Well, the lineup is mixed, and that's what the callers are getting to. Top half is superb. It's as good as it is in baseball. And I'll tell you, when you mention starting pitching, it's as good as anybody's in the AL East. Now, it has not been as good as Baltimore statistically, but if you want to bet on who's having career years, like a Chris Tillman, like a Wei-Yin Chen in his first year, like a Miguel Gonzalez, I don't know how often you're going to get that. Look at Boston again. Some guys have absolutely hit the skids, and some guys were great last year who are never going to be great again. Sam and Markham, last thought on this. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, sorry, I want to be quick. I want to say something about the selfishness on the team also. It seems like they seem to do a lot of things on their own, and I'm wondering why the manager has not indicated, like, you know what, guys, let's bunt a little more. Let's try to get on base, look at some pitches. Like, even someone like Jose Reyes is a leadoff guy. I'm just seeing him swing at anything, and it's just like it seems like the players are a little bit selfish. And I'm wondering if John Gibbons is not getting to the point, and because we have, like, a lot of these Latino players on here, I was wondering, where's Ozzie Guillen these days? Because he seems to have been a real hard-nosed manager, and he can seem maybe to, you know, make communication better with these players. I'm just concerned about that, guys. I'm going to hang up and listen to what you guys have to say.
I'll just give a quick quote. I know we're tight for time here. I want to give a quick quote from Richard Griffin's story about what Gibbons said last night. You know what? Let me save it, and I'll do it right after 8:22 before we get to Matt Barnaby, because I think it's worth listening to. And I can't tell if it's a shot at the roster that he's managing right now or if it's just simply basically an admission that that it's been over for some time, and they knew the last couple weeks that they were kind of fighting an impossible battle. We'll put it that way.
Prizes like no other, from a club like no other, the Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. Keep it here for more Brady and Walker, only on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
/7:23, good morning, Brady and Walker. Our good buddy Matthew Barnaby coming up in seconds. NHL analyst, longtime NHLer.
Ask you a quick question. Yeah. I go down to the cafeteria at 8 o'clock, and there's a guy ahead of me, and you know how the women write the... Oh, look, they're women or men, but I'm saying the woman behind the
till?
The grill writes down on the styrofoam thing what you've got. So there's a normal-sized guy in front of me, and his thing says 5 eggs... Bacon. Is 5 an unusual? Unless is he carb loading for a shareholders meeting at 10 o'clock?
He's protein loading.
That seems excessive, like cholesterol wise.
What a freak.
If you don't go to the gym, I think 5 eggs is excessive, yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm eating a lot of dough right now, and I'm going to be at the gym in an hour and a half.
Like Barnaby does the Rocky thing. When he gets up, it's like cracking 6 raw eggs. But he also just pumps iron. Like, he just gets ripped.
These weren't in a blender. All right, so this quick quote on John Gibbons. Richard Griffin's story, the Jays have used a mishmash of 47 players. Anytime you use the word mishmash to describe a sports team, it's bad. 47 players hitting 6th through 9th in the past week. Manager John Gibbons, his quote, "It's pretty much our team. We're basically running a lot of platoons. The key is when you're doing that, you've got to get to the starter. If you get where you're down late and they can get to your bullpen, they can start going to their bullpen. They got you by the cojones. Whatever they have in the pen, they have it ready, and we're such an extreme team. Our lefties have a really tough time against lefties. Our righties have a tough time against righties." There's two ways to look at that. One, he's just saying, "Look, we're in deep, and it's almost over, and I'm just saying what I feel." And then there's it is very true. I've not seen that many teams where lefties are so bad against lefties. Rasmus, Lind, Gose. Nobody trusts anybody to go up to bat against another left-handed hitter. Jose Reyes and Deonner Navarro, maybe. But even Navarro, you don't like him there.
But they're switch hitters, right?
So right. Yeah. I know. So they've got the potential to flip back around. But he's right about
this. You are right. And extreme, too. Like Adam Lind. Adam Lind is the best hitter against righties in the bigs this season. Yet no one thinks he's an all-star. It's incredible, but he's the worst against lefties.
But I'd like to see Ghost get at bat. Like, is this chicken or egg? You're never going to get better against lefties at the major league level if you don't let them hit lefties at the major league level. And then Ghost is 24 years old, and we've already decided he can never hit major league lefties. I'm not so sure about that.
Matthew Barnaby joining us right now. Wanted to ask you,
ask him the egg question first.
Okay, how many eggs is too many eggs? We'll start with the serious stuff.
How many eggs is too many eggs? Five.
Five seems excessive. Yeah, I'm embarrassed by that.
The only thing that cracks when I get up, boys, is my bones and my joints from playing those many years in the NHL. So, yeah, there's no cracking eggs for me. It's pure coffee.
Pure unadulterated caffeine. What did you make of, so Tame, you've got when's your book coming up, by the way? We want to also mention that. Your book, you've been working on this a while.
Yeah, still working on it. Ah. We don't have an exact date, but still working on it. Too many good stories, and I'll have to include a couple of Tame when he was my roommate. And he was a great guy. A lot of great stories with him, a lot of great stories from guys around the NHL.
Yeah, you had a year in Denver with him and Paul Kariya there as well. So what do you make of him going in on Bruce Boudreau? I'd say it feels that it's all about Solani because he talks about his ice time, his power play time, his production. I think if he'd broadened that out and said, this is why I don't think he was a good coach for us, that's another story. But it's sort of, he promised me things, and it makes it seem personal rather than professional.
Well, it's an autobiography, and it's his feelings. So, you know, you have the right to print whatever you want. It's a little bad timing, and it was like not taken out of context because it was said, but I think it was mal-timed. And I think when you look at getting knocked out of the playoffs, and that's where all the quotes came from, you know, it's tough. I love Timu as a guy and as a player. He was an amazing player. We all get older. All of our roles diminish and we fade away. It's tough to hear those comments when you're leaving the game, but at the same time, that's the way he felt. That's what he believed. But as a coach, I have to side with Boudreau. You have tough decisions to make. And as a coach, you're trying to put guys in place to win. You have a job to win. He's trying to win the Stanley Cup. It's nothing personal. And like I said, Tim was a great guy. It was just bad timing and the way that it is. He isn't coming back. So I feel sorry that the story has to come out. They have to deal with that. But at the end of the day, it's his feelings. It's his quotes. And, you know, I know he's backtracking a little bit, but it's, I guess, how he felt.
Solani is 44 years old, and Bruce Boudreau and his team was one of the best in hockey. It really felt like sour grapes. I was annoyed at the Solani quotes yesterday, Matt, but then you think about it, and when you are such a competitor, and you can speak to this because, like you said, you roomed with the guy. When you've been doing what you've done for 20 years, it must be hard to walk away, right?
It's very hard. I mean, professional athletes are narcissists by association. I think when you look at most professional athletes, you're narcissists. You believe you are the best at all times. And that's just something, and that's a lot of what gets you to where you are. You have to believe you're the best. He was one of the best in the world for a long period of time, and one of the best ever when you talk about all the players that have played the game. So to play at that level, I never have, and I thought I was the best. So to know what he's going through, I really can't really put it into comprehension. To have your role diminished is very tough, but at some point you have to slide into what they're believing. Now, maybe Bruce Boudreau told him that he was going to get more power play time. Maybe he was going to be on the top unit. Maybe he was going to get more playing time. But if he was told that he was going to play roughly 15 minutes, and I believe his ice time is about 14:08, that's pretty darn close to what Bruce Boudreau told him he was going to be at. So, yes. Sounds like sour grapes. I understand it, but I also understand, having played with many a professional athlete that are at the top of their game, and when they diminish, it diminishes. We're going through it, and we're seeing it with Marty Brodeur at the same time. He's not a guy that can play 72 games anymore. He's a 30-game guy at the most. So he's going through the same thing, and he's got to take the same thing from the coach that's going to take him if he gets a job anymore.
Matt Barnaby joins us. Yeah, I mean, think about Brad Richards. Everyone's in on John Tortorella. You can't treat Brad Richards that way. Well, Lanvin Yo last year, didn't play Brad Richards all that much more in the regular season or give him those kind of opportunities. Your thoughts on the, we reset this a few times this morning, Matt, the Phil Kessel, Steve spot thing. It's an enigmatic player that he's there for his offense, and I'm sure it got blown out of proportion. It happens. But I would also make the case Phil Kessel's not there to break the puck out of his own zone, and I'm not sure he's an expert at it, so maybe there's some give and take that can improve as the season goes on.
Again, I relate everything to as a coach now, because I did play, and I play with players that, yes, Phil Kessel isn't paid $8 million a year to play D-zone. He's not played $8 million a year to break out of the zone. He's there to score 35 to 40 goals. That's it. That's all. And that's what you're getting from him. So, yes, blown out of context, but as a coach, you have to be more lenient with those type of players. There's not many players in the world that can score 35 to 40 goals in the National Hockey League. So I understand it was taken out of context, and I think Spotter, who I thoroughly enjoy as a person and think he's a great coach, really learned a lesson of what the difference is between coaching in the Kitchener Rangers and being an assistant. Everything is on the record. Everything is going to get out, and with social media and the way that the Toronto Maple Leafs are talked about and everything is magnified, you have to watch what you say, even if it's probably not meant as malicious, but there is some truth in what he said. So you always have to be a little bit more lenient with your star players, but at the end of the day, let Phil Kessel blow the zone a few times, because he makes them win games when he's doing it more than he makes them lose.
Matthew Barnaby blowing the zone, not good. Phil Kessel, okay. All right.
I'd be sitting on the bench for months at a time if I blew the zone early. We went through this. I had Jaromir Jagr when I played with Pittsburgh, and Kevin Constantine. And Kevin Constantine tried to make him into a 5-on-5, disciplined in your own zone. Don't turn away from the puck. That didn't go very well. One day, they brought us all into the office, and he showed clips of Ron Francis and Jeff O'Neill playing great D-zone. And at the end of the whole clips, Jaromir Jagr said, "Well, I think you should trade me for Jeff O'Neill because he's great in his D-zone," which really wasn't true, but he had a better plus-minus. We all broke into laughter, and Kevin Constantine kicked everyone out of the office, and that was just Jaromir. Jaromir was going to play his system. He wasn't fitting into yours, but who's going to score 120 points for you? So you better live with it. And he was there, obviously, a lot longer than Kevin Constantine.
O'Neill listens endlessly to our show, so he'd never admit it. But was that like a hologram of Jeff O'Neill? Was it photoshopped? Was there some editing involved?
Hopefully it's not the new Jeff O'Neill, because he looked like he got stung by a couple bees.
Thanks, Matt. We'll catch up real soon.
Have a good day, guys.
You too. Matt Barnaby, great stuff. One of our favorites. 8:33, Brady and Walker. NHL on Sportsnet begins in 19 days. Our trip around the National Hockey League continues. Let's look at the Blue Jackets.
Brady and Walker's Two-A-Days, getting you set for the 2014-2015 season. What happened?
Finally, back to the playoffs for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Second time in their 14-year history. But they made it. And they cost Pittsburgh a little bit of an upset stomach for a little bit in the first round. Big-time contributions from Brandon Dubinsky. Probably a really undervalued player all told. James Wisniewski, we spoke to him this week, had a franchise season. And yes, the right now holding out Ryan Johansson came of age.
Oh, he's going to have a big year.
Once he gets dressed and signed, 63-point season. Nick Foligno was a big ad as well. So they're deeper. They're deeper probably than they've ever been.
The offseason.
Did they do much to terribly improve? Well, that's up for debate. Now, what they're going to have, I'd argue their biggest transaction, Andrew, is hopefully for them a healthy Nathan Horton. They missed him at the start of the season and the end of the season, and he only played a handful of games in the middle. Also, you know, the ads of the Fedor Tutin thing should be quite interesting. He's going to fit in nicely there, although having been there before. And young players, second year for Ryan Murray, fifth year there for Jack Johnson. They like Sergei Bobrovsky. He's got to stay healthy as well.
What do we think?
Well, this is the tough thing, though. We know they'd be in trouble in the West, right, Andrew? I mean, just like the Detroit Red Wings would have been in huge trouble last year. Columbus, not a playoff team in last year's Western Conference. But there's some Eastern teams that are going to try and reach up and grab what Columbus has.
The Jackets are one of those teams, I think, that they're greater. The sum is greater than the parts. But I think things are going a little south right now. You talk about Nathan Horton needs to stay healthy. Well, he could be out indefinitely. A report comes out yesterday. He might not be ready for opening night. And this Ryan Johansson stuff is going to get worse before it gets better. Columbus could be in trouble, but you're right. They are lucky they play in the East. They're a team that could fall out.
Need the goaltending. Sergei Bobrovsky was excellent last year. 5 shutouts, .923 save percentage. They handled the Marian Gaborik thing. I thought, well, the guy with moving him to L.A. Didn't want to be there and didn't fit what they were doing. They actually improved and had a better winning percentage after he left than when he was there.
We have Buffalo Bills tickets to give to you and cash. We need three callers right now for the Terrible 10, which is up in 5 minutes.
You're listening to Brady and Walker.
Those goofy bastards are just about the best thing I've got going in this crazy world.
On Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
8:43, good morning, Brady and Walker. I'm Andrew Walker, he's Greg Brady, and the Terrible 10 is coming up. Your chance to win football tickets to the Buffalo Bills and cash, which is always fun.
They sold out the Ralph San Diego, of course, Sunday, 1 o'clock. So we'd mentioned this earlier, and you know, and people have been asking for so many details about it. Not really, but the they're having the Rogers Radio Table Tennis Tournament, the first maybe the first and last annual today, and both you and I we're in the top bracket. This is like, honestly, if they put top superpowers of the world in 1986 and the U.S. and the Soviet Union were in the same bracket. That's what this is like.
In the same conference, yes.
It's outrageous.
So you have a dilemma today because, I mean, they put out this bracket today and we play. I don't know if anyone else plays, and we're matched up with a bunch of schleps.
But and we're good. We're talented.
But you have to play the head technical engineer for Sportsnet. Like the guy that helps you with troubleshooting so you can't embarrass
him. I like this guy a lot. Victory. He's just like, get your phone to Victory if your phone is acting up. And of course it's going to be defeat for Victory. Defeat for Victory. Of course I'm going to win. But I don't want to. I'm worried about what happens to my phone after that. How easy do I take it given I may need a top up. I may need a memory swipe of some sort. I may need to erase some of the transactions I've made on my phone in the last couple months.
I'm matched up in the big ping pong bracket with someone named Jeremy Slattery.
He's a great forehand.
You have no idea. You have no idea.
Very solid. All right, we got to make our survivor picks really quick. So I'm taking New England. I've taken the Jets and Green Bay. I'm still alive. I'm going to take the Patriots to beat the Raiders. We should have done this yesterday.
I've used up my Seahawks and my Denver Broncos
that wasn't smart.
Already. But I'm through to week three, unlike our producer, Ryan Faber. I am going to this week take the New Orleans Saints. The Minnesota Vikings in turmoil. They're on the road. There's no AP, of course. I'll take the Saints. That's easy. That's an easy advancement, I think.
All right. Patriots and Saints will be stressing it out. Time to do the Terrible 10. Let's do it. We got three callers on hold, ready to go. Ryan Favreau's in. Let's set the... we all had a bounce back weeks. You are leading after 2 weeks at 12-8.
Mm-hmm.
But you haven't 60%. Won a week yet. I won last week and Andrew won the week before.
No, I won the first week.
Oh, did you win the first
sure.
week? Okay, yes. Andrew's second and hasn't won.
60% is leading the pack right now.
But I
now.
Made it back to .500 very quickly, going 3-7 and then 7-3. So we start in Buffalo. The 2-0 Bills took a lot of guff from fans saying they still wouldn't be a playoff team after Monday. Bills fans are like, are you kidding? I'm like, have you watched the last 16 years? Bills are hosting the Chargers. Andrew, let's begin with you.
I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills at home this week. I think San Diego doesn't travel very well. There's something about it. I mean, this is going to be a field goal game, no doubt about it. Bet on your ProLine tie on Sports Select, but I am definitely taking the Bills.
Yeah, I've decided I'm just going to pick against Buffalo until they lose. I know the defense has been great, and I know San Diego struggles playing East Coast games at 1 p.m., I think they're overconfident, but I don't care. I'm picking the Chargers somehow, some way.
Yeah, I'm going to take San Diego. Phillip Rivers the last 2 years with this new coach. Boy, did a quarterback ever need to get away from a coach more than it feels like Phillip Rivers needed to get away from Norv Turner. I'm going to take San Diego in this one. Yes, that's part skepticism about the Bills, but I'm really high on the Chargers. I'm the only person on the planet that thought they'd make the playoffs last year. But I got a bunch of other things wrong. Dallas and St. Louis playing the Rams. Jeff Fisher said yesterday he doesn't know who his starting quarterback is. And we knew when Sam Bradford went down, this would be troublesome. And Dallas looked a little better last week. They're 1-1.
DeMarco Murray sure ran the ball well last week. He really did. I am using an upset special. I'm taking the Rams this week.
I will kill you.
Oh, seems harsh.
I want to pick the Rams, but then I saw DeMarco Murray has ran for like over 200 yards. And the Rams have given up 170 yards on the ground a game so far.
But that defense is better than that.
Yeah, well, I'll take America's team.
Yeah, I'll take Dallas Cowboys. I'll take Dallas as well. The Rams, I thought they did so many good things, and I thought they'd be almost an outside shot for they're not going to, for the playoffs 2 years ago, they're not going to keep turning the ball over at this rate. Dallas can't, whether we think Tony Romo's healthy or not. So I'll take the Cowboys. We go to game number three, Houston, unbeaten Texans at the winless Giants, who had a moment against the Arizona Cardinals before Ted Ginn ran that punt return back through the inept special teams of the Giants. The game's in the Meadowlands, though.
Yeah, Giants got to win at some point. I will take them to bounce back after a horrendous week.
Yeah, I'm doing the same. You can't, you know, Houston's not that good. They've had two easy matchups. Ryan Fitzpatrick's still their quarterback. Giants win their first this season.
I think it's real close, but I'm real skeptical taking an 0-2 team against a 2-0 team wherever the game is, even though my up-down theory worked a lot last week. Baltimore's in Cleveland, divisional game. Ravens have been off since they were excellent, going way back to 2 days after all the Ray Rice stuff blew up, and they played a great home game on that Thursday night against Pittsburgh. Cleveland beat New Orleans at home.
Cleveland is so amped up for this game. Baltimore's not that good. They're really not. I'll take the Browns at home.
Yeah, but the Browns aren't that good either. Every time you think
you're
they're
not
kind
that
of
good,
I'm leading this right now. I'll take the Ravens. It'll be a tight one.
Oh God! Oh God! Oh.
Yeah, Baltimore.
That's it, Baltimore. I'll take Baltimore also. Let's keep it moving quickly. Love this match, NFC North, Ford Field, Green Bay, and the Lions. Green Bay had to go in there on Thanksgiving last year. Walker, you watched it eating, turkey legs and drinking lagers, watching whoever that backup quarterback was for the Packers.
Matt Flynn
get destroyed. But they have a healthy Aaron Rodgers now. And they were look at that second half offense against the Jets last week. Pack Lions. Going with your heart or your head or both?
Both. I will take Green Bay on the road in Detroit.
Really interesting game here. I think we found out Detroit's not that good outside against a tough defense like we did last week against Carolina, but they're at home. I don't think the Packers D is that good. I'll take the Lions for a big home win.
Aaron Rodgers had a couple passes last week against the Jets where you go, that's why people still think he's one of the best couple quarterbacks in the NFL, but he hasn't put a complete game together yet. I think he does. I think the Lions secondary is terrible, so I'm going to take Green Bay, although high-scoring game.
God, please, no!
Yeah, bet the over.
Philadelphia will host Washington as the Eagles. I don't know. They kind of escaped with one late against the Colts on Monday night, but they have the short week, and Washington going with Kirk Cousins, quite obviously.
I don't know how good the Eagles are yet. I do know I don't like Washington at all. I'm going to take Philly in this one.
You just cost me $6,000.
I don't think we know what the Redskins are with Cousins at quarterback. He looked pretty good last week. Philadelphia doesn't look that great, but they'll squeeze out a win. At home. Eagles.
I think Eagles also. Let's go to San Fran, Arizona. That's a really intriguing game. Divisional game means something, and Arizona can take a two-game lead in the division if Seattle loses and San Francisco loses.
Yeah, Arizona's underrated, but I will go with the Niners to bounce back. I don't see them losing two in a row, not this early in the season.
Yeah, I think Arizona's pretty good, but there's questions about Palmer if he starts as well. Niners got to be angry. I'll take San Francisco.
Here's one thing also. The 49ers fans travel well to this game. Tickets are harder to get at the Dome than they were when they played at Sun Devil Stadium, but it'll feel like a home game for the 49ers with all their fans there. I'm going to go with San Francisco. I think they're going to win solidly, and I do like Arizona. I just like San Fran that much more. Super Bowl rematch. Here we go. Game 8 of 10, Denver in Seattle.
Yeah, I hate to do it, but Seattle.
Wow. Yeah, Seattle's the better team. They lost last week. They'll be up for it. Seahawks.
I'm not sure they're the better team, but they're the home team. And that's if they played on neutral site right now, the way they looked last week. But I'm going to take the Seahawks. I think it's going to be really, really close. It obviously won't be last year's Super Bowl. Game 9, Kansas City in Miami. Chiefs have started badly, but I'm not sure any team played a worse 60 minutes than the Dolphins did in Buffalo last week. So they're not. I don't know that anyone should be that high on them.
It's close. Jamaal Charles should play. He was back at practice last week. They've got nothing from him for 2 weeks. I will take Miami in a tight one at home.
I think Charles is going to miss this game, but I don't think it matters. There's too many injuries on that Kansas City Chiefs defense that made them good last year. I don't think they'll win this one. I got Miami in a tight one.
I think Miami edges it out, too. I thought Kansas City would take a real fall from grace, and they're different at Arrowhead than they are away. They were last year, even when they roared to a 9-0 record. And the Sunday night game, I think it's really intriguing. You know, you only see these teams play every 4 years. Pittsburgh against Carolina. But they're catching Carolina in an up cycle and the Steelers in a down. The Steelers have been awful the last six quarters, Walker.
Yeah, and Carolina's defense is really, really good. I'll take the Panthers in this one.
Yeah, I've been saying Panthers all year long. Give me the Panthers. Easy one.
Yeah, Panthers. I didn't pick them to win the division. I picked them to squeak in as a wild card. They might be one of the first teams to clinch the way it's rolling right now. So don't forget, Bodog.net brings you the Terrible 10. You can win Bills tickets, $150 spending money at the games. Let's find out from Mike who he'd like to pick. Mike, you've got Andrew, Ryan, or Greg. Whose picks do you hate the least?
I'm going to go with Mr. Walker's Bills. So I'm gonna
go home and get your f***ing shine box.
Not bad, Mike. All right. Representing...
Smart guy.
Yeah, he lives close to Buffalo. Nicholas and Brampton. Either Ryan Fabre or myself, Nicholas.
I'm going to pick Ryan Fabre.
What's the reason behind that? Never mind.
Yeah. I don't like you. That's the reason.
And Jared and Branford will go with me. We don't have time to get to him. So Jeff Blair's going to have John Morosi on at 9. John Gibbons will join Baseball Central at 12:15. The Jays are in New York tonight. When we speak to you next, loads of NFL games will have been played. The Jays will finish their series in New York. Only home games the rest of the way, starting with Seattle Monday night.
Yeah, and Leafs preseason opens up on Monday. Should be fun.
They should move the Jays game to London and let the Leafs play here in Toronto. Why not that?
Not a terrible idea.
We'll look into that. And find a new stadium for the Argos. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much for listening. Jeff Blair's next.